Shalom, Haverim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our Lady of Excellence, Reverend Sheeta Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey. Not so sure about the excellence part, but I do try, as we all do. But what a week, and now we know a respite that we had hoped for. Doesn't look like it's going to happen, especially without gaining both houses. We did lose the Senate, so slim chance much will happen as we barely won the House. Oh, yes, maybe a few investigations, even some subpoenas, but we'll probably not go very far. And now the runoff in Georgia won't really matter much. The Georgia Warlock.
You mean Warnock?
Right, sure. Just squeaked in last time that they did this, and likely will again. And as you probably agree, we do think cheating goes on. Anyhow, let's begin tonight's program asking for God's added protection, discernment, and most of all, wisdom in the months ahead.
Oh, merciful, loving, and all-knowing Abba Father, we commit to remain steadfast, knowing you have it all under control to fulfill your word while conveying to us that we are even closer to your return, which brings sweet excitement. We continue to trust in you with all our heart and will not look at what the world sees for the future, but what we know is our future in your coming kingdom. We pray for these recent prayer requests and for the salvations of our loved ones. Please keep us safe as we rest in your ever-loving arms as we confidently pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, sadly, no red waves as Republicans expected.
Or even the self-anointed so-called prophets were declaring. I'll admit, my flesh is angry over so much corruption almost everywhere.
As in Arizona when the cameras stopped working.
Right. So no surveillance for hours. Plus it takes days to count the mail-in ballots until they get the number they need. And so many glitches in the Arizona voting machines where people were actually turned away. Come on, we're not stupid, especially knowing that tens of thousands of ballots went out in the mail to people who did not request them. And approximately 16 states, all blue states, I think, by the way, they required no ID to vote.
But our trust is in the Lord.
Amen. He's all we got. And he must fulfill his word.
And corruption is part of the end time scenario.
Yes, and likely times will get worse and therefore more uncomfortable. But he said we would have some afflictions.
John 16:33 and many other places.
Even so, we are very blessed to live in such a time as this.
I wouldn't trade it.
Of course not. Oh, we might have had the elections wrong, but God's word is never wrong.
Amen.
And time is short, and many solid Christians who study prophecy intently really feel we will not be here in 2026.
Please refresh the listeners why we think that.
Okay, but first let's stay in context and read from Hosea 5, beginning in verse 15. And by the way, this is Jesus speaking through Hosea.
I will return again to my place.
Okay, stop. It's important to see where we're at here. If Jesus is returning again to his place, that must mean after his death, at the time of his ascension, he will return to heaven. Now let's ask the listeners, what year did Jesus return to heaven?
Lots of proof. We know that to be 32 A.D.
Yes. And before we go on, let me tell you that in our generation, with the increase of knowledge, we miraculously found in 1947, the year before Israel was legally given her homeland, ancient texts along with the prophetic writings of godly Jews in the Qumran caves near the Dead Sea that were previously hidden, fearing an invading army. The area was abandoned and later occupied again by the Essenes, who left the Pharisees over bad doctrine decades before Christ. These historical and prophetic writings go way back, some dated 100 to 200 years before Christ came.
Along with very ancient scrolls.
Yes, as in Enoch's writings and the scrolls of the Bible copied onto papyrus that matches within 2% of the original Masoretic text we hold in our hands today. These ancient texts were obviously secured by Noah on the ark. Also remember, Noah lived 950 years and was alive when Abraham walked.
What discussions they must have had.
The Bible scrolls have also been translated pretty well in the English version called the ESV, although we still use the original interlineal Masoretic text by J.P. Green to study from because the equal distant lettering is very correct, which was my litmus test for accuracy. So, the Essenes were anointed examiners of Scripture, and some were true prophets who prophesied in writing that Yeshua would come to die for the sins of the world in the year, wait for it,
32 A.D.
Again, written 200 years prior to Yeshua's death. We also think John the Baptist had ancestry from the Essenes, and that when Yeshua's whereabouts were unaccounted for from like around the age of 12 until 30, part of that time he likely spent in Qumran educating further the Essenes that might have changed their name to the Way that we read about in the book of Acts 9, verse 2.
Well, and other places in Acts 2.
Yep. Okay, let's read Hosea again at what Jesus is saying through Hosea, verse 15.
I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face.
That's at the War of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38, verse 23.
In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me.
Yes, the Magog War takes place in the beginning of the tribulation. Now, in the next chapter, Hosea reveals how long they will come on hard times until they are spiritually healed. So, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Again, this is now Hosea speaking as he pleads with them.
Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn.
As in correction.
But he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bandage us up.
Now comes the big clue. Verse 2.
After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight.
Okay. It says after 2 days. Well, obviously, it's not two 24-hour periods, so let's go to the scriptures because...
Scripture interprets scripture.
Yes. Let's read 2 Peter 3:8.
But, beloved, do not forget this one thing.
This one thing? Well, must mean that he's about to say it's pretty darn important.
That with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years... as one day.
And also confirmed in the Old Testament, Psalm 90, verse 4.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past.
So, obviously, we're looking at 2,000 years.
But could it mean approximately or exactly?
Well, I have to confess, about 25 years ago, I used to think it meant approximately because I just didn't want to believe it might be exactly, because way back then, that was just too far away. And I just couldn't imagine waiting that long. However, that was then, and this is now, and knowledge has increased. So I am now willing to say that if you add exactly 2,000 years to 32 A.D., what do you get?
You come to 2032, when he should return to Earth.
So, the real good news is, minus the seven-year tribulation,
you come to 2025.
And isn't it amazing that years before Christ, prophets actually prophesied in writing that Yeshua would die and be raised up in 32 A.D.? God did that for his last generation. It gives me goosebumps.
Hey, it surely does.
They actually named the year at least 100 years earlier. That's just amazing to me.
I'd say those were real prophets.
Because they were spot on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we think the rapture could easily be in 2025. Again, Hosea says after 2,000 years from when Christ left, he'll raise us up, which takes us to the beginning of the seventh millennium. And after he cleans up all the evil, which is the dark part of that day, his kingdom begins. So we believe on the new moon of Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets, the resurrection will occur.
He will raise us up.
If you're alive, it's called the rapture. And if you're already fallen asleep, it's called the resurrection.
Hallelujah.
And Hosea even goes on to say what season he'll return. So, honey, please continue in verse 3.
Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth.
Which are phrases used for the spring rains and the autumn rains.
As there are two major rains in Israel.
Yes, in the spring and in the fall. And Jesus died in the spring and will return in the fall.
And Joel 2:23 confirms that as well.
Yeah, check it out. And there is still another clue that could happen.
And it's from NASA.
Yep. According to many astronomers, there is an asteroid approaching the Earth named Apophis that is due to come very close and very possibly hitting the Earth in April of 2029.
As Revelation tells us will happen.
Yeah, according to Revelation 8, at the midway of the tribulation,
the third trumpet,
a great star burning like a torch falls from heaven on the waters, making them bitter. Therefore, is called wormwood.
And many men will die.
We know the tribulation begins about 8 days after the rapture on Yom Kippur on Tishri 10, during the fall harvest.
Yes, according to James 5 and Joel 2:23.
So, in the middle of the tribulation, as in 3.5 years, brings it to the spring around April when they say Apophis could hit in 2029. Know that we are not predicting this, for no one can know for sure. But 2025 seems at least very plausible to be the year of the rapture, and then his return to Earth at the end of the tribulation in 2032, exactly 2 days or 2,000 years from the year of his ascension in 32 A.D. Again, let us repeat. According to Dr. Ken Johnson, who studies the Dead Sea Scrolls, he says that the Essenes actually did hide numerous scrolls in the caves at Qumran. And years later, or I should say in the last generation, these scrolls were found by a young boy looking for his goat. Coincidence?
No way.
So, in summary, the Essenes foretold when the Messiah would die for the sins of humanity in 32 A.D.
They were correct.
They were. And they wrote that at least 100 or perhaps 200 years prior to his first coming. Therefore, using Hosea's prophecy, we can also conclude he will return to Earth in 2032. Minus 7 would be the rapture. So, hold on, church, because it could get pretty bumpy.
But we can do this.
Yes, we can, as our treasures keep mounting up, which pleases him.
And don't the Essenes, don't they have their own calendar?
Yes, they use the solar / lunar calendar of 364 days. Ours is 365.25. So it's similar to ours, with each making the necessary leap adjustments, as does the lunar calendar currently used in Israel today. It is online should you want to look at it, but do note that the Book of Revelation uses lunar years, but God, just to be sure that it's all clear, actually numbers the days or uses phrases like times, times, and half a time.
Or 260 days.
Yes, and he doesn't use the word years until Revelation 20, verses 2 and 4, because the Greek word for 1,000 here is kilio, which means approximately, where kilios would have meant exactly.
So in Revelation 20, God says approximately 1,000 years.
That's right. Oh, one more thing. The Essenes also write that 2025 begins the Jubilee. Go figure. Anyhow, you can go deeper if you want. We just wanted to point out that there are those who really believe 2025 is the rapture year. I'm still hoping sooner, but if not, we'll surely anticipate 2025, which is exactly what God wants us to do, to anticipate, hope, be anxiously awaiting, and expect to escape his wrath, which is coming, and that is a sure thing.
Okay, amen. Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, as we announced last week, we will be taking a needed short break over the holidays from the week of Thanksgiving, which is next week already, till January 10th, still Tuesdays at 8 p.m. We will enjoy some added family time, and I'll be doing extra studying and research to share with you all next year. In our closing minutes, we want to emphasize the importance of staying in his word, especially during the hectic holidays. Spiritually, the word is Jesus.
He's the seed planted inside of us.
But to keep it growing, it needs nourishment. Like all seeds, it needs good soil, like the soil of your heart. And most of all, it needs water. Because even with the sun and the good soil, without water, it cannot grow.
We need a lot of water of the Word.
In fact, it's how we get completely sanctified, which is a process of that growth. Honey, please read Ephesians 5:26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word.
We have, from time to time, but actually many more lately, requesting prayers for a loved one, especially concerning the younger generation, from a parent or a grandparent about their descendants, saying they were once excited about the Lord after being saved and baptized, but they just don't care anymore and practice sinful lives and shamefully tolerant of all types of sin. I think you can all relate to this, as we can. By the way, tolerating, especially gross sin, is a sin too, as 2 Corinthians 11 points out, where the Corinthians were putting up with it, even a different gospel. Just like today, many who say all roads lead to heaven.
Well, that's holy hogwash.
Anyhow, while I was praying the other day for these prayer requests, in my spirit I felt the Holy Spirit reminding me about Matthew 13's parables, especially the seed that had no water, so was scorched and the root did not grow. We must water the seed or we cannot grow. Therefore, when the storm hits, that might just be blown away very quickly. But here's the point. If the seed was truly planted at some point in that person's life, it's still there, but needs water to replenish it. We must somehow get the word into our backsliding loved ones. We all need the word. We all need the word to have a fulfilled and joyous life. And what does Psalm 119 verse 9 say?
How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word.
We must teach that to all new believers, whatever the age, because today the devil, as portrayed by the birds in the parables, will snatch away any new growth. We can't let that happen. So we must pound that truth in, and soon the milk of the word begins to taste like steak that we can chew on. Honey, let's close with Hebrews 5:12 through 6:3.
For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Exercise your thoughts through the word for needed discernment. Paul goes on to say,
therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits.
In other words, time to dig further, and it must be done in your personal study, because the churches are not going deep enough. Some don't even talk about the Bible prophets, even though Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Revelation 19:10.
Learn to love the prophet books of Scripture. Or are you an in-name-only Christian of Matthew 7, who only has a head knowledge of him, but not a true heart conviction, no desire to be in his word? Get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy will try very hard to steal that seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He is the Messiah to anyone who wants him. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul, that never dies, spends eternity. It really is your call. Don't be a fool. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, number 622. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom. Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Have a blessed and joyous holiday, and we'll be praying for you as we hope you pray for us, especially Dan's leg, which might need more surgery, and our finances that could use a boost. We'll return January 10th, God willing. God bless you all, and may your life be a testimony to everyone. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.